Living on another level. Living on another level. That is our, that's our focus. That's our goal. That's where we're trying to get. So we're coming out, we're coming off of a series on living on another level of faith. And today we're going to start a series on living on another level of praise. Living on another level of praise. And we will be dealing with praise and worship. But we, but for, just for the for right now, we're going to be focusing on the praise aspect of it. Living on another level of praise. I have been a little concerned and have started to wonder whether or not there is maybe there's an issue with understanding what praise is. Now, ultimately, where we're going, I'm just going to tell you where we're at. Let me just sort of fast forward to the end. We're going to be talking about not just praising God in terms of the concept of praise or praise by definition, but we're going to be talking about living on another level of praise. Because the Bible talks about how we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people who have been brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, that we should show, in fact, that we should show forth the praises, excuse me, of him who has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we, God has made us chosen and holy, so that we should show forth his praises. We were created to praise him. So our lives have to be a life of praise. We want to talk about living on another level of praise. So we're going to talk about what praise is in this basic sense, but we're going to ultimately end up on what does it mean to live a life of praise, to live on that level of praise. We have to raise our level of praise. And I think the challenge that I see is not at the deep aspects of praise, but at the very basic levels of praise. I think there's an understanding component missing on what it really means to praise God and the significance of our praise. And what God expects from us. Now, we're going to be talking about a few aspects. We want to talk about to whom we praise, to whom our praise is offered, or the object of our praise. We want to talk about by whom praise is offered. So to whom, by whom, and we're going to talk about when we are to praise, when God is to be praised. We're going to talk about where praise should be offered. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about how God is to be praised. Amen, somebody. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about why God is to be praised. I'm not going to rush it. We're going to take our time. Praise. Living on another level of praise. Praise is an interesting word that we throw around a lot. Sometimes we throw it around without full understanding of what it really is. If you really want to know if we're praising God the way God expects us or desires us to praise him, you have to understand what he means by praise, what praise means in the Word of God. And it does, it's not one-dimensional. Praise is really multi-dimensional. That's why ultimately, as I told you earlier, where we're headed is how we're going to actually live a life of praise, live on another level of praise. But when we talk about praise in its basic form, it means to give thanks. One definition of praise is to give thanks. So when we give thanks unto God, then we are praising him. Amen. So when you look at that, let's deal with that just for a moment. Giving thanks unto him. We thank people when they have done something for us or when they have done something good. Well, the Bible tells us that in Psalms it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he..." Y'all missed that one. That was a good one right there, boy. I think Tracy might have been the only one that got that one. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." Oh, give thanks. That's a form of praise. So one of the reasons we praise him and we give thanks to him because he is good. He's earned it. He's done something that's deserving of our thanks. So we give thanks unto him, for he is good. When someone does something good, we thank them. That's a form of praise. So how many of us can think of something good God has done? So I want to challenge you, sour faces. Not just on Sundays, but on Wednesdays, ultimately every day you get up. But let me just talk about church for right now. Just if you're struggling with feeling down, with whether or not I should smile or whether or not I should give, just think of something God has done for you. It's really simple. It's not a complex scientific methodology. Just think of something. There's a song that says, "When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for saving me." When I think of the goodness of Jesus and some of the things he's done, just when I get to just even some of them, before I get to all of them, just when I start, think, you know how the song says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done." Think about it. How good God, regardless of how bad things may be, I promise you there was some good before the bad. Is that right, Sister Jenny? And I promise you there's going to be some good after the bad. And if you really learn how to maneuver your way in God, there'll be some good in the midst of your bad along with it. Amen. You can be going through the best of times and the worst of times at the same time. But it doesn't change the goodness of God. So when I think of his goodness, think of how things could have been worse. Think about where he's brought me from, what he's doing for me now, the promises he's given me for the future. When I think of that, then it makes me give God thanks. So I'm thankful. So to give thanks is a form of praise. So at the very least, at the very basic, when we come to God, we ought to be able to come into the house of God and give him thanks. We ought to be able to praise him for the good things that he have done. In fact, the Bible says that we should enter into his gates with what? There it goes again. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. How many of us do that consistently? Don't answer me, but just challenge yourself. Do I enter into the house of God with a spirit of thanksgiving? Or do I drag myself in? Am I judgmental? Am I critical? Am I pessimistic as opposed to being optimistic? Am I hopeless and doubtful instead of hopeful and faithful? What attitude do I bring into the house of God? Some of us need to come into the church just like some of y'all coming in here now, Snipe. Some of y'all need to come into church and go straight to the altar. I'm not saying because of y'all. I'm saying because of the attitude that we bring in church. Some of us don't come to the house of God with the right attitude. And it is an indictment upon the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. If I'm really thankful that he woke me up this morning, then I should be able to praise him for that. So there's no reason why I should come to the house of God down and dragging and depressed. And listen, let me tell you something. All of us have bad days. and bad weeks sometimes. We all go through bad periods of time, but every time, every Sunday, you got your head hung down, you're depressed, you're sad, you're gloomy, you are doing the wrong thing. If you are down, miserable every Sunday, it ain't got nothing to do with a bad day. I'm telling you, there's some. We all have those bad times. We all have times where we need to say, I need to, let me hook my jumper cables up to you because I need a boost today. I understand that. But every Sunday, can you never come into the house of God with some pep in your step? Something's wrong. And I'll tell you why. You're not thinking of the goodness of Jesus. The Bible says, go give thanks unto the Lord, for he is what? He is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures through all generations. So I have to be thinking about the goodness of God. So the challenge is, what makes me hang my head down is I'm thinking about the problem. I'm thinking about what's broke instead of what's right. And so I have to change what I'm focusing on and what I'm thinking about, because no matter what happens, God is great and he's greatly to be praised. One of the scriptures says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wondrous works to the children of men. He has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. We have a right and a reason to praise God. The Bible tells us that when there were some in the Bible, and I'm getting ahead of myself, Jesus help me, but there were some in the Bible that was praising God and they tried to silence them and make them quiet. And Jesus told them something. He says, let them alone. He says, because if they don't praise him, guess what? The rocks, the very rocks will cry out. In other words, this praise is an expectation of the people of God praising him. So we're talking about living on another level of praise. It's going to begin with the mindset that I embrace. What are you thinking about? If all stuff that's coming to your mind is negative, shake it. If everything that's coming to your mind is negative, then you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because my Bible tells me in Philippians that whatsoever things are true and lovely and honest and just, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, and the very God of peace, hallelujah, he shall comfort you. So the challenge is, what am I thinking about? So I have to challenge myself. We have put too much responsibility and too heavy a burden on the praise leader and on the preacher to get up and just dig us up out of the muck and the mire. That's too much of a burden to put on the man of God that's got to preach the word of God. But before he can preach the word of God, he got to dig you up and pump you up and get you all. And so many churches have resorted to gimmicks and schemes to try to get people to get into a certain place so that you can be, now you can receive the word of God. And by the time some of y'all loosen up, it's time to go home. Imagine the word of God that will come forth from that sacred desk if we came into the house of God already ready to receive. And don't you mistake yourself. You can tell when you stand in that behind that desk, if there's a spirit of reception in the house, if people want to receive the word of God, if people are hungry, I can tell which ones of y'all in here now are hungry for the word and which one of y'all want me to sit down and shut up. I can tell it. Everybody ain't hungry for the word. So what happens when we come into the house of God ready to receive? Oh, my God, you're talking about restoration. You're talking about deliverance. Why? Because we come into the house of God expecting to receive something from God, not coming into the house suspicious, looking. We come into the house of God weighted down on something we saw last week, something that didn't go right last month. Now we're coming into the house of God with that weight. Shame on us for coming into the house of God with that. We've got to lay aside every weight, every sin, and we have to look unto Jesus, help me God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We got to live on another level of praise, saints. And it's going to begin by the praise we offer up in the house of God. If you can't praise him in the house of God, the house of praise, the house of worship, then something is wrong. Living on another level of praise. What does it mean to praise? And some of us got our definitions of praise all wrong. Yes. Let me deal with this for a moment. Praise, if I'm going to really praise God's way, I need to understand the definition of praise. Praise is not one-dimensional. It is multidimensional, omnidimensional. So we can't limit ourselves in terms of our expression of praise. So that means Pastor's expression of praise might be different than Larry's. That's okay. But they both are praising God according to the Word of God. Now, let me deal with this for a moment. We talked about is giving thanks. Rejoicing is another form of praise. Rejoicing, being joyful, being joyful. Joy is a mark of the church. I'm going to deal with this in depth a little bit later, but let me just give you a little bit. Joy is a mark, is a fundamental characteristic of the New Testament church. So if you are not walking in joy, you are not connected to the Holy Ghost. Please hear me. Joy is a fundamental characteristic of the first century church, of the New Testament church. So if I'm struggling in the area of joy, I've got some work to do. I've got some work to do. I've got to change some things. I've got to fundamentally change and transform some things within me if I'm struggling with this area of joy. Because God's the entrance of God's word and the entrance of God's spirit brings joy. He gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. Just like you experienced when you got filled with the Holy Ghost. There used to be a song when I was growing up, that song called He Touched Me. It started off, the words would say, shackled by a heavy burden beneath a load of guilt and shame. But then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. And it goes on to say, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. And now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Yes.
There's joy that comes with the presence of God. He is the joy of my salvation. Yes, he is. Uh-huh. Old Testament scripture says, with joy we draw waters out of the wells of salvation. So your salvation must bring joy. If you are still saved and have lost your joy, you got a problem, baby. You are in trouble. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so I can't lose my joy. But guess what? In his presence. All right. So let me deal a little bit in this praise. A couple of words dealing with praise. I'm going to hit the Old Testament real quick, and I'll bounce to the New Testament. I may go back and forth a little bit. In the Old Testament, the words for praise in the Old Testament mainly was halal, H-A-L-A-L. And that root meaning of that word, and some of y'all I may challenge you a little bit, but the root meaning of that word, if you look at it, it's to make a noise. The root meaning of that word is connected with making a noise. And while, you know, I'm not saying that you can't praise God and be silent, sort of. But I'm just saying, let me just stick with the word here. What it means, one of the fundamental definitions of praise is to make a noise. It's outward. And it's outward for a variety of reasons. Mainly, it's outward because something's on the inside. You can't keep it. But the other thing is, praise is also a ministry. You ministered even to other people through your praise. So when people see and they hear, think about on the day of Pentecost, think about what happened with the miraculousness of them speaking in tongues. And the Bible talks about how they were speaking in tongues and there were people there from other countries that heard them speak in their language, which they didn't know their language. They hadn't been educated in their language, but they spoke a different language. And there were people there from that native country and they heard them. But the Bible says something interesting. It says they heard them glorifying God in their language. People can't hear you glorifying God if you're silent. So praise is outward. It is audible. It packs a noise with it. Okay? Let me dig into that a little bit further. So halal, it talks about making a noise. So I want to encourage you. The Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye people, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with singing, not with your good thoughts. God said, I want to hear you. Open your mouth. Come before him with singing. Make a joyful noise. So you that are a little bit on the quiet side, a little bashful side, I need to hear you. Let me be more specific. God needs to hear you.
Amen.
Lest y'all accuse me. God needs to hear you. So you're going to have to come out when it comes to praising God. It's okay. God, the Spirit of God he'll bring you out of your comfort zone, and it's okay. He's not going to let you fall. He got you. Trust him. But you got to come out of your shell a little bit and you have to release yourself. You know how the song says, I surrender all? Mm-hmm. We really do. You have to surrender your quietness and your reservedness and your little shyness and bashfulness, and you have to be willing to open your mouth and give God praise because he's good and he's worthy. Okay? So, halal, making a noise. Yada is another word. And that word was originally associated with bodily actions and gestures which accompany praising. So now I have halal, which is you're hearing something. And then I go to yada, which means you're seeing something. So then now my praise is not only heard, but it's visible. So that's why I lift my hands in form of praise or worship. That's why I say hallelujah. I say thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise you. It's a sound, but I'm not just saying those words. I'm demonstrating it. And I even put on my church face sometime and just... Y'all know how we do it. I mean, that ain't the Bible, but we put on it's visible. Y'all know how we do. We get real deep. I ain't figured that one out yet, but it's still, it's all right. It's all right. You feeling it. You feeling it. Feel it. Do what you got to do. Get ugly for Jesus. But it's demonstrative. So it's not only audible, but it's visible. So that's why you jump sometimes when you praise God. Or as pastor do it, he'll. I'm going to learn that one one day. So, but guess what? It's visible.
Yes.
We wave our hands, and Charlene will hit her, and she'll start. She'll do this. And Tracy will get her thing. Tracy had one hand back and the other one going. Y'all know, I'm just saying. We watch each other sometime between shout-outs. What I'm saying... It's visible, and don't leave Wilbur out. He'll take off running the lap every now and then. Matter of fact, you about past due for one. We got to. You know what? I said something the other day, a few weeks ago. It was something was going on in the spirit. It was real high. I said, you know what? If Wilbur take off running, I'm going to run right behind him. I'm going right behind it. I did, and I was going to go, too. I was. But guess what? It's not only audible, but it's visible.
Yes.
You've got to raise your hand sometime. You've got to do something. There's something. It's a visible, it's audible, and it's visible, whatever it is. That's not just limited to raise your hand. Whatever it is. But what I'm saying is when the praise is real, it's audible and it's visible. Let me move on. The next word is Zamar. Z-A-M-A-R. This is associated with playing or singing. The playing or singing of music. So I was interesting because I was doing some studying. One of the words that I looked up, one of the definitions of praise, it talked about, it says an expression through the idea of striking with the fingers. Striking with the fingers. That relates to, that's really what you're doing, but also playing of instruments. Striking with the fingers. Zamar talks about the singing or playing of music. To bless God, to speak well of Him. Now, let me qualify everything I just said. I need y'all to grasp what I just said. Do y'all have what I praise is audible, it's visible, it's an expression that comes as a result of giving thanks to God. Now that I have that, listen, it's so important. Don't miss this part. This word implies an attitude more than just the doing praise, but the attitude toward the object of our praise. Because you can do praise without focusing on the object of your praise. In fact, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So you can do praise, act praise, show praise without focusing on, without an intimate relationship with the object of your praise. So the most important thing is not to understand necessarily a definition of it, but your relationship with the object of your praise, which is Jesus. So when I understand He is the object of my praise, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that we should look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So when I understand He's the object of my praise, then my expression, my audible praise and my visible praise becomes meaningful. And it becomes powerful because it is birthed out of a relationship with my Creator. So then, sometimes it is a journey, sometimes it is a process, because everybody's not there and don't understand that. So sometimes we do work it from the outside and hopefully it'll get in. But the true essence of praise, the object of our praise is more significant than what we see. And what a powerful, powerful life when I'm talking about living on another level of praise, when I am focused properly. And as a result of that relationship, it births a praise out of me that is uncontainable, that is spontaneous, a combustible praise. In other words, when I'm so connected with Him, then the joy of the Lord just begins to flood my soul. And it, what's in me, based on my relationship with me, begins to come out. You ever seen two people that's like in love, like stupid in love? They sometimes can, they people that ain't in love, it makes them sick. They're like, ooh, it don't even take all that. Now they just test too much. That's because you ain't where they at, probably. But you ever seen somebody like really in love? It's just like it comes out. It oozes. You can tell. And it's powerful. Don't miss that. It's powerful. Now, I was talking about the flesh. Let me flip it over in the spirit. Have you ever known somebody that was crazy in love with God? And it was genuine? Think about it. It's a powerful thing. Your relationship with God that causes you to praise Him and to worship Him in spirit and in truth is a powerful thing. It does a couple things, and let me just hit a couple of points here, and we'll wrap it up. Number one, it keeps you intimately connected with God, and it strengthens your relationship, Because to have that powerful type of love that I'm describing now, it's not just accidental, nor is it incidental. But it is because of a relationship that has been developed and cultivated. You have to put time in to get that kind of love. Amen. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So it's the result of some work, of some investment. So that does something for you and your relationship with God, because in him I live and I move and I have my being, and I'm being found in him and I'm being fashioned in him and conformed into the image of his son. And so my relationship, I'm growing in grace and in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm growing in it because I'm developing and cultivating that relationship with him daily. Not just on Easter, but daily. The second thing is, when that relationship is like I'm describing it, it not only ministers to you, but it ministers to others. Someone that has a powerful relationship with God, that's a powerful relationship with God, their relationship with God ministers to other people. Even if they don't say anything. Think about this. Even your worship. Have you ever been encouraged or motivated by somebody else's worship? I have. Sometimes I'll be here and maybe sometimes things are going through my head. Even sitting up here in the pulpit sometimes. You'll sit here and then you'll see someone just lose themselves in God. And boy, that makes me, I tell you, that does something to me. That takes me there. Why? That person is not paying me any attention. That person's not trying to get my attention. They're just, it's them and God. But guess what? To see that genuineness, it ministers to other people. Saved and unsaved. So we're talking about generational transformation. We're talking about transforming lives. People need to see my genuine worship to God. People already have seen enough games, even in church. Yeah, because we can get it right. You know, there are churches sometimes that practice their praise stuff, how they're going to do it, and they choreograph it. You can see it because they'll look at each other and they'll, you know, they'll get it. Okay, let's do it. They're looking at each other and they're okay, now one, two, three, and do it. You know, I mean, I'm not being critical, but there are people that do that. I have this place, I'm not being critical, but when I'm talking about that, when the anointing is there, when God is in it, I'm telling you, it's a ministry. It's a ministry that is unexplainable. It's unexplainable, but it's so powerful. So your praise is not only important to you, but when you really live on that other level of praise, that's a form of ministry. That's a form of ministry that cannot be imitated or duplicated. So we talk about the joy. I mentioned a moment ago, and I'm going to wrap this up on this point. The basic mood of joy, the basic mood of joy marks the life of the people of God. The basic mood of joy, rejoicing, thanksgiving, it marks the life of the people of God. God's people are a joyful people. Have you ever gone to a dead church? Is it yours? Don't answer that. Boy, have you ever gone to church and said, man, that was a dead church? It seemed like the people were sad. Nobody really wanted to be there. It was just like, it's hard. Especially, Joel, when you've experienced something different. It compounds the difficulty. So what happens is I have a responsibility, and what my concern is that sometimes my concern is our heaviness a result of our relationship, our personal relationship with God? Because you can only fake it for so much. I mean, you can come up. I mean, this morning, I'm probably going to get up here and tell, okay, come on, y'all stand to your feet and come on, let's give God praise. Come on, you know he's been good to you. Has he done something for you? I'm probably going to say that today. But guess what? You can do that and follow the leader and do what the praise leader instructs you to do and still not have your relationship with God right. So guess what? After the praise leader stops telling you to do it, then you'll stop. But I've learned that true praise, I don't need somebody to tell me when you don't have to tell me to clap my hands. No, because I'm in him and he's in me. So when I have a relationship with him, then I know whose I am. And I know what's happening inside of me, so I don't need somebody to strike a fire because the fire is already there. In fact, if you need, you can come, you know, light your match for my fire if you need to. But I'm not depending on nobody else to strike my fire. Where has the fire gone? The praise is not just emotional, or it's not just getting caught up in emotions. Because there are some that can get emotionally caught up, but it still not be true praise. That's why Jesus said that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I have to make sure that my relationship with God is intact so that my praise will be real and my praise will be effective. So that, why don't we try it? Why don't we try to come to church and why don't we all be praise leaders? Why don't we all get in trouble with Pastor and he has to sit us down and tell the musicians, y'all stop. Now we got to move on. Now stop. Why don't we all just make it hard for Pastor? Because the praise is so high. And it's not just form and fashion, but it's real, true, genuine praise. The Bible says there were times in scriptures where the praise and the Shekinah glory of God was so thick and so saturated that the priest couldn't even stand to minister because the people were caught up in praise and worship based on their relationship with God. So then if I'm going to do that, then my praise does not begin when I get here. I bring it with me. I was glad, David said, when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I didn't get glad when I got there. I was glad when it was church time. I was glad when I was on my way as I was getting dressed. I was glad on Monday because I was thinking about Wednesday night. I was glad on Tuesday because I was thinking about Sunday morning. I was glad living a life of praise, living on another level. Saints of God, I encourage you and I beseech you by the mercies of God to turn up your praise in this place. Lives will not be transformed until lives coming in won't be transformed until the lives that are already here are transformed. We have got praise is something basic. You don't have to have a special class. You don't have to have a certificate or to be appointed. Get praise. You have to have breath. And to give God praise, make a joyful noise. It's okay to clap your hands. Some of us, I'm going to tell you what, let me tell you what something came to me this week. Some of us act like we are watching a sports event. Stay with me. From home. We know how to act when we go to the game. Some of us act like we're watching it from home. That's how we act when we come to church. Like we're watching church from home. Think about it. You don't get sometimes as crazy. Most of us don't get as crazy at home as we do when we're at the game. When we're there live. I mean, y'all think my wife is all mild-mannered and stuff. Y'all go to some of Derek's basketball game with her. She be about, I'm like, Raina embarrasses me sometimes. And I know I probably embarrass her more than she embarrasses me in life. But I promise you at a game, because she'll be fussing, what's up with that ref? You blind? She goes off. I'm like, I'm going to tell your mom and daddy on you, girl. But guess what? Guess what? When we're at the game, it's a totally different engagement than when we're watching it on TV. I want to invite you from your homes into church, in the stands. Be at the game. Make a joyful noise. Be at the game where Jesus is the star, where we came to celebrate. Sometimes we come and the game is being played. Sometimes I like to look at the game like an after party. I like to look at church like an after party. The victory has already been won. We just came to celebrate. And we used to have some parties at the football game when I was in high school. That used to be what was up back then. Back then, before I was saved back then, I'm saying. Some of y'all remember that. I'm saying. But when we come to church, it should be like we're celebrating because the victory is already won. Nobody goes to a celebration. Let me ask you this. What would you say if you went to a party and somebody was sitting over in the corner, maybe like Jason sitting back there, somebody sitting back in the far corner away from somebody, and they just sitting there. They're not dancing, not doing anything. They're just sitting there just watching, just sitting in the corner. What would you say about somebody like that? Wallflower. You said they were strange. Wallflower. Yeah. What else would y'all say? That's what I'll say. Why did he even come? Why didn't he just stay at home? Don't let our church experience be like that. Some of us sit like that in church. You just sit back there. But guess what? While we're here, let's maximize it. It's okay to clap our hands. It's okay to think of something that God has done for you. There's so many things we have to thank him for and to give him glory for. There's so many things. So I encourage you today and ongoing that let this be the beginning of another level of praise. Let's take our praise to another, not just because it's Easter or Resurrection Sunday, but let's continue this. We're going to be teaching and dealing with this, living on another level of praise. We're going to be dealing with this because I think God has a word for us that he wants to take us to a place that we can be equipped and positioned to be effective in generational restoration. I'm going to tell you, we're going to need to give God some praise because the enemy needs to, hallelujah, see the people of God praising him. The enemy needs to see that, yeah, he delivered a message or a package to your door yesterday, but you still shouting and rejoicing today. Well, maybe she didn't get the package. Yeah, I got it, and I opened it, and I put it in the trash. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. So, yes, the devil needs to see our praise, that no matter what comes, I'm still going to worship him. That's what Job did. After he lost everything, you know the story of Job. The Bible says that he fell on his face and worshiped God in the midst of it all. Why? He was living on another level. Living on another level of praise. God bless you. God bless you. Let's.